Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We're speaking of an issue that I believe we should all be interested in, concerned about, and praying over. That is the question, is it too late to save America? Is America under the judgment hand of God as we speak? What does the Bible say in relationship to God judging a nation? As we look at Isaiah chapter 1, we find the chronicle of the charges that are presented. It's a nation that's on trial. It's the nation of Israel that's on trial. In the midst of that trial, God offers them a deal. If they just repent, if they would repent, then God would drop the charges, if you want to put it in the Youngblood vernacular. It was the charges that God had brought against them. God is the jury. God is the judge. And God is the one listening to the case. As you study that, and I recommend that you do, in Isaiah chapter 1, I call it a nation on trial. America stands before God. In my book entitled Nation on Trial, it's not but a 1099 book. You can order that by dialing 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, and order that book. We'd be delighted to ship that to you. It is a delightful read, a challenging read, because it lets you see where America is in light of what God said to the nation of Israel in First Chronicle and Isaiah chapter 1. Ladies and gentlemen, as we're talking about, is it too late to save America? And by the way, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching what was a strong spiritual foundation being dissipated, eviscerated, totally destroyed. The question is, will America fail? I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we're plummeting from the pinnacle of where we once were as a great nation. Our educational system is nothing more today than an incubator for all that is ungodly, immoral, unholy, and anti-American. Our nation is no longer a shining light on the hill, as President Ronald Reagan called it years ago. Our economic condition today is worse than in the days of Jimmy Carter. In fact, I told my wife just recently, I said, Joe Biden is making Jimmy Carter look like a prince. Joe Biden is making Jimmy Carter look like a high success as president. If you go back and study, if you live through those days, you understand what I'm talking about. But I'm looking at an article here, ladies and gentlemen, that says state's highest court takes on school that tried to force a teacher to lie. It's Dateline March 5th. The Supreme Court of Virginia has taken on the fight between a teacher and his school, where officials tried to force him to lie and fired him when he would not. The lies that were involved were the school's demand that teachers use pronouns for a student that conflicted with the student's sex. According to the officials at Alliance Defending Freedom, the state court awarded Peter Velleman an appeal in this case. Peter wasn't fired for something he said. He was fired for something he couldn't say. As a teacher, Peter was passionate about the subject he taught. He was well-liked by his students. He did the best he could to accommodate their needs and requests. But Peter could not, in good conscience, speak messages that he does not believe to be true. We're pleased that the Virginia Supreme Court agreed to hear this important case and are hopeful that the court will agree that the school boards violated Peter's rights under the Virginia Constitution and state laws. Peter was fired for avoiding the use of pronouns, personal pronouns, regarding one student, and sued after he was dismissed in a ruling that the circuit court for the county of King William Essentially, the school board dismissed him for refusing to adopt the politically correct practice of letting students decide what gender they are and then promoting their choice of genders. I'm looking at another article, very similar. Lawyers warned school to stop harassing a child who talked about Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the American Center for Law and Justice, J. Secular's organization, the report from ACLJ explains school, a second grader, has been ordered repeatedly to stop by the principal's office for talking about Jesus on the school's playground, and of school's officials even have banned gospel tracts that have been inspecting. They've been inspecting the child's book pack and confiscate them any tracts. The ACLJ described the school's officials' conduct as totally outrageous. Quote, "The actions of the school officials were particularly egregious in this case because they not only violated the student's rights, but also publicly humiliated her. They will not get away with this," ACLJ said. "We ensure that the little girl's religious liberties are respected once and for all. We recently had a letter, wrote a letter to the school board, and if the school does not take immediate corrective action, we are headed for to file this case in court." Goes on further in talking about what is happening. The bottom line was the second grader, Christian, talking to the students on the playground, not in the classroom, not disrupting studies, talking to students on the playground about Jesus, telling them who Jesus is, giving them gospel tracts, inviting them to place their faith in Jesus as a second grader, and the school said you can't do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the condition of America that points out we have plummeted from our original origin as a nation. We were founded on Judeo-Christian values. We were founded on biblical truths. In fact, many of the state constitutions of the United States of America today still have inculcated in the state constitution that you need to be a Christian to run for office. You can say, woe is me, we've fallen a long way, and we really have. Ladies and gentlemen, we no longer have secure borders today in America. Over 2 million illegals have crossed over. They're discovering that more and more and more of them are selling fentanyl, selling other drugs. They are child molesters. They are rapists. They are murderers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as a result of an open border, we're bringing all of that into America, and it can do nothing more and nothing less than continue to make the plummet of America morals, ethics, and values to continue on the fast track. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the major problems that we're faced with is what we're doing in our churches and what we're not doing in our churches today. But we're not preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're no longer calling sin, sin. Ladies and gentlemen, our government is rapidly becoming a socialist third world system. The Biden administration using executive orders. Most of what Joe Biden has done in office has been accomplished through executive orders. Not through legislation, not through the legislative process, not through the House of Representatives or through the Senate. All nations, ladies and gentlemen, today look at America and laugh at our weakness. In fact, our weakness is being seen by Xi in China. He's flexing his muscles now, saying that they're going to take Taiwan, and that if America, anybody, other nation tries to intervene, they will view that as an attack on China and will respond accordingly. Xi is using almost the same terminology and the word threats that came out of Putin's mouth before Putin went into Ukraine. But Biden keeps saying that if you do that, you're going to face major, major problems. If you do that, we're going to do this. And he's not done one thing other than continue to avoid any press conference, avoid any public appearance, avoid anything that will answer questions about what he's doing. But ladies and gentlemen, we have banned the Bible in our public schools. We've banned Jesus in our public schools. We've removed anything that we call any vestige of biblical truth in our schools. I can recall the day, and I'm still less than 100 years old, I can recall the day in public school we would have Bible reading, Bible study every morning, first thing in the classroom. We'd read the scripture. The teacher would discuss the scripture. We would then pray and then pledge to the flag, pledging allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, we've not done that for many, many, many years. In fact, since the early 60s, we banned God, we banned the Bible, we banned Jesus, we banned anything that's called morals and ethics and values. And that's the reason today we have the sodomite agenda that's being taught in our public schools. We have the critical race theory that's being taught in our public schools. We're being taught that they're dozens of different sexes rather than two as God created. God created male and female. God created them, and that's the only two sexes that God has ever created. There's not multiple sexes today, but it's being taught in our public schools. We're destroying the morals and the ethics and the values in our kids today, and as a result of that, they're growing up to being millennials, and in the millennial age group, they're rapidly coming into vogue as being the leaders in the House and the Senate and in the educational system, in our churches, in our in anything that's called educational system or in the churches today. Those that have been brainwashed in the public schools, destroying their minds about anything that's called morals, ethics, and values, are now coming into vogue in their leadership roles. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, the Barna Report said that one out of five churches, hear me, the Barna Report said that one out of five churches will close this year. The Barna Report said there are about 300,000 churches. One out of five means that about 60,000 churches will close this year. Now, I don't know about you, but that saddens me. But yet, at the same time, when we realize that cotton candy theology is being taught, cotton candy tastes good, but it's not filling. A goosebump theology is being taught, makes you feel good, but it doesn't give you a biblical text to hang on to. I call it voodoo theology. As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're destroying the impact that the church once had on a society that's darkened and decaying and dying. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Hey, brother, thank you very much. I mean, it's sad to see what's going on in America. When they remove the Bible, the one that transformed the human being written by God, and you got these bio-wicked people, transgender, allow it to many public schools to teach kids in the reading hour? Are you kidding me? But when you see a nation like that, they're just drifting away from God. You know what I mean? And I guess the only hope for this nation is the group of Christians. You know what I mean? That we have to pray for this nation. And let's not forget, I was thinking the other day about that Bible verse that it says that narrow is the way to salvation, but wide is the path to destruction. So, you know, it's going to be fewer of us in the last days. And we've seen it. You see a huge number of so-called Christians, you know, drifting away from the faith because all they have lately is entertainment. Feel good. You got those tight pants that they have to butter their legs before they put them on. And they want to be cool. They look like cigarettes. If they bend down, they break. You know what I mean? So it's unfortunate to see the way that we live in. Even the modesty is not even talking churches. Modesty for men and women. So when you got these people that they just go and they become so-called pastors because they see this as a profession, not a calling from God, when the enemy just whispers to the ear, they drop everything and they flee. And the sad thing is the media think that that's all the Christians. No, that's a small minority of Christians that they call themselves, and they don't have a genuine call from God. You know what I mean? And I know many churches are closing and things like that, but that goes to show the spiritual, the biblical knowledge that the Christian community is lacking. Many churches, they only have one lame service, Sunday. And God forbid you go over an hour, you know, because the football team or the baseball team or my NBA team is going to be playing, so I got to leave my church. And you got something on Wednesday, something going on Wednesday, most churches. So spiritually, they are weak. They are malnourished. So when the enemy comes with a huge lie on his kind of way, this is the result that we have. That foundation is gone. There's not a biblical foundation. It's sad to say, brother. And sometimes you find Christians that they argue with me, claiming that there's many people in all the religion, they're going to make it to heaven. When I quoted what John 14:6 says, that he's the only way, the truth and the life, they tell me, well, I don't know, because there's good people in every religion. This is not about being good. This is about having an encounter with God.
Amen.
And accept Jesus in your heart. But this is the kind of Christianity that we are living, brother. And I rejoice every time I hear you on the air because you're speaking truth. Maybe few people are going to listen to it, but that's what the Bible says. Few, you know, are the ones walking in the path. But, you know, narrow is the way. But why? That tells you why means more people walk into it. And that's what we see I mean, it's not what's going on, brother, but this is a sign of the last day. And our job is keep doing what you're doing and keep talking and speaking truth in love. We cannot change our biblical standard or lower it for anybody. And with this administration, I mean, this administration is against God. Everything they do is against God, against Christians. So all we gotta do is just pray for them, and see, you know, what the Lord is gonna do in the last days. But we are living in the last days, brother. Everything is pointing to His coming, and we have to speak truth and be ready because the rapture can happen at any moment. That's my comment, brother.
Brother, you're spot on. Thank you so much for your insight, for your wisdom in the Word, and standing for the gospel. Thank you so much for that. Have a wonderful day, and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, just as Jose just said, one of the major problems we're finding today comes out of the church. In fact, pastors are no longer preaching about sin. Pastors are no longer preaching about the reality of a place called hell. Pastors are no longer preaching about the need to repent and turn back to God. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding a major, major, major decline in morals and ethics and values. The Bible says that we need to go back, and judgment begins at the house of God. I believe that we need to go back and realize that we faltered, we failed for the past 50, 60 years in our churches across America in preaching the truth of the Word of God. I'm looking at an article that should be a frightening thing to every listener. It says, survey, Christian worldview being supplanted by syncretism. A survey stunningly has revealed that many Americans who think themselves are Christians actually follow a worldview called syncretism. A blending, you might ask, what is that? It's a blending of multiple worldviews in which no single philosophy is dominant, and only a sparse 2% of parents or preteens actually possess a biblical worldview. The results comes from the American Worldview Inventory 2020 done by George Barner in the Barner Report in the Cultural Research Center. It seems, he says, that most preteen parents are unaware are certainly unfazed by the contradiction between calling themselves Christian but living in ways that repudiate the teachings of Jesus Christ and the principles of the Word of God. End quote. Open quote. The polling reveals that not only are majority of today's parents millennials, the adult generation in the America least likely to possess a biblical worldview, but 94% of parents of preteens possesses a worldview known as syncretism. That leaves those involved with those beliefs with worldview that is divisive and often self-contradictory. Despite 67% of the parents of preteens claiming to be Christians, the research revealed that only 2% actually possess a biblical worldview, according to George Barner and the report. Here's another article that touches on that needs to be understood. Pray to God, or whoever, this headline says. As our modern American church continues to descend into apostasy, we're now reaping what we have sown, as we can see in the hearts and the lives of young people across our nation. For the most part, parents and churches have failed in their duty to discipline their children and protect them from the fleshly enticements of this world that lies at the enemy of the soul. This is not a recent development. We're now at least two generations, this article says, two generations past the time when God was truly reverenced in our land, in our families, and in our homes. Today, God is all but forgotten in the modern American culture, and the church, which was called to be light of the world and salt of the earth, has become good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot, Matthew 5:13. In total ignorance, this article says, in total ignorance of God, our Creator, we now scratch our heads and wonder why so many are afflicted with madness, blindness, and mental confusion, why we are oppressed by the unjust and evil leaders. We wonder how it could be so many people, young and old alike, that are hooked on drugs, following false religions, involved in sexual perversions, addicted to pornography, confused about their very gender, and all many committing suicide, the article says. Recently, the Barner Research released a report on the beliefs of millennials. I'm reading from the article. What Barner discovered is no surprise, considering the atmosphere in which these young people were raised in. Barner found that half the young adults prefer socialism rather than capitalism. Also from them, there is no such thing as absolute truth. Talking about young people, millennials today, That's been replaced, he said, by moral relativism as feelings and friends form the worldview. 9 out of 10 young people today choose a mixture between beliefs from different religions and form of virtue signaling, trying not to appear intolerant. Being born again no longer comes from a repentant and faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Instead, they believe born again means just being a good person by doing good deeds and good works. And that's how you earn your place in heaven, they say. 2 out of 3 millennials believe they're Christian, but also none know much about Jesus, and they certainly don't follow his teachings. 75% actually believe that all religions are equal, that there are many paths to God. A high percentage identify themselves as don'ts. That means that they don't believe God exists. They don't care. Only 4% of the millennials now hold a biblical worldview regarding God, life, and morality. The church is supposed to be a training ground, a spiritual boot camp for those who have come to know God, the Lord. But today, those that attend church are not being equipped for the work of the ministry or building up the body of Christ. For most part, our pastors today preach on how to have a better life, how to have a better marriage, how to be joyful, how great we are, and of course, how we should all give to the church regardless of what's being preached. This article concludes by saying, we need to be equipped, always ready to give an answer to anyone to ask the faith that we have. Unfortunately, that's no longer happening in the modern American churches today. Further, the article closes with, God is love unto all who seek him in repentance and faith, but that's not the call, that's not all God's children. Indeed, until we turn to Christ, we remain children of wrath. The wrath of God abides on us. We are enemies to God until we become his child by saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said that any more succinctly, any better myself. But that's where we are in America today. That's the reason we're finding the plummet from where we once were as a great nation, where we once were as we were birthed as a nation based on Judeo-Christian beliefs, the foundation, our founding fathers either being God-fearers or Christians out and out, and in our Bill of Rights and our Constitution, in our founding documents, ladies and gentlemen, throughout the founding documents, we find threaded in there scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, we are under attack as a nation. I'm not talking about from Russia. I'm not talking about from China. I'm not speaking of North Korea or Iran, but we're under attack. And it's a satanic, demonic attack, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Ladies and gentlemen, it's demons that's attacking our nation and undermining our foundations today through people like Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and all of those in that category. You remember, it was Jerry Nadler, a U.S. House of Representatives member, that said, God's word has no place in the halls of Congress, end quote. And that's where we are today, ladies and gentlemen. This is the reason the sodomite lifestyle is being embraced. That's the reason there's a push to destroy the church and force the church to embrace the sodomite lifestyle and to celebrate the sodomite lifestyle and the CRT and the dangers that lurk before us as a result of the schools, the universities, and colleges, ladies and gentlemen, becoming incubators to destroy the minds and the hearts of those that are sent there. I say to parents, by the way, and I've said this for many, many, many years, I'd rather have a child grow up and be an absolute academic dummy than to put him into the public universities, public colleges that will brainwash that child and destroy the morals and the ethics and the values that Christian parents have taught him. Here's an article that says LGBTQ campaigners liken Christianity to the Holocaust. A letter signed by thousands of Christian ministers and pastoral workers in the UK asking lawmakers to make sure Christian prayer and preaching are not censored by any bans on so-called conversion therapy. And it goes on to talk about how elsewhere around the world, they will tolerate no comment, no sermon, no prayer, no suggestion that their chosen sexual alternative lifestyles should be or could be abandoned. That's talking about the LGBTQ, the sodomite agenda that's a global thing, ladies and gentlemen. We're finding that today permeating society. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Here's an article that's a recap of Billy Graham's statements years ago. Billy Graham's present words about political leaders: among the founding values of Christianity is the requirements to love one another and to honor equally, regardless of class, creed, or gender. Yet today, Christian values are scorned as we live through the remarkable period of a cultural decay in our world. One may ask, what degree is justice upheld today to protect the weak? Are political leaders listening to the needs of the people? If not, how did the system become so corrupt, so susceptible to political bribery and selfishness? Billy Graham, arguably the most well-respected Christian leader for generations in the West, stated back in 2014, America is as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah wherever, deserving the judgment of God. He said that if its political leaders do not start to pray again, the country will spiral out of control. God would spare us if we would earnestly pray and with our hearts and be cleansed and washed by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my challenge to you today, is to recognize that our only hope is to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, cease being silent. Stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not bury our head in the sand and pretend that it's going away. Here's an article that says, new law penalizes citizens for opposing worldview that are different from the powers over us. A fairness ordinance in Nebraska City has triggered a firestorm with a state pro-family organization claiming it will trample the First Amendment rights. Lincoln City Council, located in the state capitol, passed the ordinance February the 14th. This 67-page ordinance affects everyone in the city, from churches and schools to your gym and your local swimming pool. It's a nonpartisan issue, Karen Boland, executive director of the Nebraska Family Alliance, said. The ordinance penalizes citizens for expressing a worldview that is different from those positions of the political power in place. Ladies and gentlemen, that speaks volumes. That's what we're seeing taking place today. The socialist, Marxist, BLM, democratic powers have their authority over us, and they're saying that you can have no other belief system other than what we say, which is a secular, humanized, relationship, and not that which is biblical. So I say to everyone listening today, look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. We need to understand the days are closing for the opportunity for us to turn back to God. Say yes to Jesus Christ. Obey His word. Meditate on His word. That's my challenge to you today as we close this Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
To Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.